It's been 2 years since a global pandemic put a halt to our normal routines, including kids going to classes. No one knew quite how students might fare when schools closed due to COVID-19. At the time, NPR education correspondent Anya Kamenetz had to look to humanitarian crises to find comparable situations.
When we talk about students that are out of school for months at a time, you're looking at the Rwandan genocide, you're looking at Syrian refugees, Rohingya refugees, students in West Africa during the Ebola crisis.
2 years on, schools are open and masks are coming off. And Anya joins us again to assess how those predictions at the start of the pandemic played out. Hey, Anya.
Hey, Debbie.
So at the time you said research from different places around the world suggested that low-income and marginalized students would suffer the most academically and that the high school dropout rate would rise, is that what happened?
Absolutely. Those predictions were more than borne out. So there's been a lot of research on learning loss. The latest studies focus on reading. One study in Virginia found early reading skills were at a 20-year low this past fall. And that's in part because of something that was different in the United States than a lot of our rich country peers. We kept more of our classrooms closed for longer. And as a result, in the fall of 2020, there were large numbers of families who sat out pre-K and kindergarten altogether and kept young children home rather than struggling with remote learning. And the toll of all this learning loss, indeed has been worse for low-income families as well as for Black and Hispanic families.
What are the implications of that? Are these kids going to be able to catch up?
They absolutely can. It takes work. What research shows from places like New Orleans, where schools closed after Katrina, is that it takes carefully tailored curricula and teaching. You can't rush ahead when a child is turning 6 or 7 and they don't have the alphabet down. You have to continue to cover that new material while also providing extra group or one-on-one help. And the researchers I talked to said, bottom line, Debbie, we can expect it to take 2 to 3 years for these kids to catch up onto the trajectory that they would have been on had the pandemic not happened.
So 2 to 3 years, what does that mean for older students who don't have 2 or 3 years? Is that why there have been these dropout rates?
What we're seeing is exactly what experts predicted, that these older students, they get pulled into household responsibilities and paid work. Last fall, I talked to Dr. Leslie Myers-Small. She's the superintendent of schools in Rochester, New York, which has lost about 1,000 students from the last school year.
We have some students that just, particularly older students, who are just saying, you know what? I got a job. I'm not coming back.
And, you know, we're seeing this downturn in college enrollment as well. College enrollment is down more than 1 million students over the past 2 years. And there's huge implications for this, for the economy, for our skilled workforce, even for areas like public health, if educational attainment in the United States stays at that lower level long term.
Now, one of the other things in your reporting back then was this connection between closing schools and the mental health of students. Tell us what we know about that.
Absolutely. So the literature from all over the world says that schools are a place for relationships, routine, stability, and hope for children. And that is exactly what this pandemic took away. So, you know, we have to start by noting an estimated 200,000 children have been either orphaned or bereaved by this pandemic just in the United States. And that is a major adverse childhood experience, a cause of toxic stress. And it's just one of the reasons that the Surgeon General and many other experts have called youth mental health a crisis right now. One bright spot is that we do see schools using some of that federal relief money to beef up their mental health services. They're hiring people, they're training teachers, they're picking up that crucial role in children's lives again.
Good. Now, is there anything that was predicted in the research about school closures that has not come to pass?
So one of the possibilities I called out back then, I've been fascinated by research about innovation in education. And there are cases where when you have this huge disruptive break, Rwanda is one example after the genocide, Katrina, New Orleans, a crisis can be a catalyst to reinvent the school system. And that's not really happening right now in the United States. I mean, of course, kids have gotten laptops, teachers have figured out how to teach online, but we're hearing a lot more about back to normal instead of about what's next.
That's NPR's education correspondent, Anya Kamenetz. Thanks so much.
Thank you.